Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio listeners. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast. Always available. Always free. Always odd.
The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast esoterica and so much more. If it's odd to you, friend, it's on the odd to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for the month of June 2018. Guys, it's episode 55, and I'm still alive. You're wonderful, a masterpiece, beautifully made, important to people because you're important to me. Highly favored by your creator, whether that is a god or the law of averages and physics working in tandem, you, my friend, are thirsty for knowledge and addicted to wonder. You are an oddball, just like me. And here on this show, your family and we are one. This is episode 55 of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, your monthly paranormal variety show. We had a little bit of a Mother's Day themed episode last month. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I got a lot of good feedback about it. Throwing it out to you, this one, well, you kind of guessed it. It's going to be for the fathers out there when I jump in the oddities a little later in the show. It'll be 10 very interesting facts about Father's Day. Guys, I hope you guys are finding yourself in a just happy time. I definitely have found myself in a happy time. This is awesome for kids because, you know, let's be honest, they're getting out of school. It's deadly. They're all getting out of school. They're all excited. This is their last month, and parents are kind of dreading it for the most part because, you know, their kids are off, and they got to be entertained all the time. But you know what? I think it's really awesome when the kids get out for school because it makes me think about when I was a kid, and I used to get out of school for summer and how excited I was. So enjoy your last month of freedom, parents. All you guys out there who listen to the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. And I promise you, I'll be there to keep you company here on Podbean or Stitcher or my goodness, I'm all over the place. Really, like iTunes as well. If you guys haven't subscribed to the show and left a little review, I'd be kind of sad. We're actually getting really, really close on that 1,000 subscriber mark at Podbean. And I just want to thank everybody out there who is subscribing to the show. There is no better way to say thank you to me. Of course, I would appreciate it if you guys, wherever you're listening to it from, just leave a little comment. Something simple. It could be, love this show, or it could be, hated this show, or it could be, I'm not sure if it was Yanny or Laurel. You know, something along those lines. Anything at all, I think would be just freaking awesome. Thank you so much once again for downloading the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, your monthly paranormal variety show. Now, with June comes a lot of weird stuff. I got a lot of stuff to talk about in the paranormal news. It's going to be probably one of the longest news segments I've done in a very, very long time because just so much weird stuff went on this month, man. May was just, well, if I asked Justin Timberlake what's the weirdest month of the year, he'd probably say something along the lines of, it's gonna be May. God, that meme is everywhere in April. Anyway, guys, you know, one thing before I jump into the paranormal news, I just want to put this out there to you guys. I actually got a couple of comments about my last show, and a couple of people were asking, you know, John, we love the guest. We want you to do more shows. We love the bonus episode you guys put out. And, you know, I'm going to throw it out there to you guys. I am a super busy dude. The reason why I do this once a month is because I'm comfortable doing it once a month. I can bring you guys a high-quality show that's just chock-full of awesomeness. And, you know, as opposed to, say, a 25-minute show once a week, I give you guys a little over an hour once a month. But that hasn't really stopped me from putting out some bonus content. And there was some bonus content that went out the month before. So I hope you guys enjoyed that little bit. And who knows, you might see a scattered little bonus episode. You probably won't know about the bonus episode unless you are subscribed to the show. So what I mean by that is that, like, when this show goes up on the first, okay, the actual first of the month. And when it goes up on the first of the month, I usually promote it. I put it all over Twitter. I put it all over Facebook. I put it all over the place. So really, honestly, it's kind of in your face. It's there. You'll be reminded of the show. And I love that because it's the first of the month. But, you know, for my subscribers, I put up bonus episodes. And we've actually had a couple of this year so far. So just throwing it out to Tia, I don't advertise those bonus episodes. You got to subscribe and get the notification from wherever you're to. And there's no better way to do that, of course, to be on the Podbean app. You know, some people complain that the old Podbean app is a little bit of a pain sometimes. They say, you know, things get jammed up and it resets and all this stuff. Guess what? That's all in your settings. Look it up on Google, man. You can fix this thing. My God, I used to be so mad with Podbean because I'd be listening to a show and then all of a sudden, boom, it'd start loading again. It actually has something to do with your settings in your phone. So just check it out on Google. Put in, you know, Podbean stops often and it's a quick fix. And let me tell you, I've been enjoying some of my favorite podcasts out there. And just been really, really loving it. I mean, I can't even get through the dishes at home without listening to a podcast. I've gotten that addicted. So there you go. Anyhow, folks, onward with the paranormal news for the month of June 2018. Well, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I got to play a little something for you guys. Have you guys heard this yet? What is that? Well, it's something that's literally torn the internet apart over the last month. This simple little audio clip is probably one of the weirdest illusions people have come across, this baffling internet illusion. Guys, do you hear Laurel or Yanny when you hear that audio clip? A simple audio clip of a word being spoken has divided listeners who can't agree on what the word actually is. Have a listen to the audio clip, man. I just played a minute ago. I'm going to play it again for you now in a second. Remarkably, some of those who have heard it swear that they can hear Laurel, but not Yanny, while others claim the complete opposite, insisting the word that is definitely Yanny, and I have heard both words. This is really strange. The clip is a recording from a vocabulary website that was discovered by 18-year-old Roland Zazabo. When he played it back for his school classmates, none of them could agree on what the word was. After he posted it online, the conundrum soon became something of an internet phenomenon. According to Poppy Crum, chief scientist at Dolby Labs in San Francisco, each person's interpretation of the clip will depend on their immediate environment and what hardware they are using. While there is more energy towards the mid and higher frequencies, people tend to hear Yanny, she said. When the low frequencies are more emphasized, people hear Laurel. Other factors, such as gender and age, can also affect how the clip is perceived. This really isn't a true reality. There is only our perceptual reality, she said. So I'm going to play that for you guys one more time. Have a little listen. I hear Laurel. I do. And I kind of... But I'm going to admit, the first time I heard this, just audio clip was by itself, I heard Yanny. It was so weird. So, I don't know. I guess the jury is out completely on that one. It's kind of divided the internet. But you know what? Speaking of juries and taking on dead cases, good God, did you hear about the jury that used a Ouija board to find a murderer guilty. This actually happened many years ago, but I came across a story and I thought I'd share it with you guys. In 1994, the case was made headline news after it was revealed that four jurors used a Ouija board to reach their verdict. The trial, which lasted 5 weeks, found English insurance broker Stephen Young guilty of the gruesome double murder of Harry and Nicola Fuller at their home in East Sussex. There was relief that the case was finished, said Police Detective Graham Hill. Obviously, all people that are involved in the prosecution were pleased with the verdict, was one of the guilty, because there, as you can imagine, a huge amount of work that goes into that. It takes a long time. A few weeks later, however, it was revealed that several members of the jury had based their verdict on information they obtained from the Ouija board. According to the report, four of the jurors had got together one night at the Brighton's Old Ship Hotel and fashioned a crude Ouija board out of paper and a wine glass. The session was said to have yielded some intriguing results, with the group becoming convinced, absolutely convinced, that they had managed to contact a spirit of Harry Fuller, who was actually one of the two murder victims. Stephen Young done it, the ghost allegedly stated, vote guilty tomorrow. The jurors were so taken aback that many of them started crying. When they eventually retired to their rooms for the night, they agreed not to tell anyone about what had taken place. The incident remains one of the most high-profile cases of juror misbehavior on record. Man, throw the book at him! Or at least the planchette. Man, that is out there, eh? But not as out there as we're about to go. Breakthrough Listen. Expand search for aliens is my next article. We're going even deeper to look for, well, some neighbors out there. The world's most comprehensive hunt for intelligent extraterrestrials is about to begin its next major phase. Launched back in January 2016, Breakthrough Listen had initially focused on stars relatively close to Earth, but now, thanks to recent upgrades to the Parkes Observatory in Australia, is still and will soon be initiating a much wider set of scans covering millions of stars over the next 2 months. With these new capabilities, we are scanning our galaxy in unprecedented detail, said project scientist Danny Price from the University of California in Berkeley. By trawling through these huge data sets for signatures of technological civilizations, we hope to uncover evidence that our planet, among the hundreds of billions in our galaxy, is not the only where the intelligent life has arisen. Such huge data rates have been made possible thanks to the telescope's multi-beam radio array, which features 13 beams capable of scanning large sections of sky at once. Over 1,500 hours of scheduled observation time already there, this equates to around 100 petabytes of data. Whether it will reveal the existence of intelligent extraterrestrial life, however, remains to be seen. But I'm actually really excited because, well, I happen to believe in aliens. I think they really are out there. Are they, you know, close to us? You know, like within listening range? I don't know. But, you know, if the building blocks of life are here from a purely scientific standpoint, if there's, you know, unbelievable amount of possibilities out there with billions and billions and billions and billions of stars that are like ours, well, you know, it's a good chance. And, you know, then there's the God debate. If you believe in God like I do, well, that's great. Because guess what? You'd have to be pretty pig-headed to think that God would create everything on this planet, make sure all the animals somehow evolved from what he put on here. You know what? You'd have to be pretty pig-headed to actually think that he would stop here for no reason whatsoever. So there you go. I'll leave the debate up to you guys. You know, unless you think, like a lot of scientists think, that aliens are already here, you know, they're kind of already here on our planet. A bizarre new theory proposes that octopus embryos arrived on Earth on a comet millions of years ago. They might look alien, but octopuses and other cephalopods really from, could they really be from outer space? And, you know, I believe it. These things are really smart and really strange. This peculiar idea was recently put forward by an international team of 33 scientists whose work has been published in the journal Progress in Biophysics and Molecular Biology. Their research focused on the genes of octopuses and other species that arose following the various mass extinction events that have occurred in our planet's distant past. It's our view that the new genes are likely new extraterrestrial imports to Earth, most plausibly as an already seen coherent group of functioning genes within, say, cryopreserved or matrix-protected fertilized octopus egg, the team wrote. It takes little imagination to consider that the Precambrian mass extinction event was correlated with the impact of giant life-bearing comets and the subsequent seeding of Earth with new cosmic-derived cellular organisms and viral genes. The idea that life may have traveled from other worlds to our own asteroid or comets, a theory called as panspermia, is not a new one. However, this particular study is strangely specific. Unsurprisingly, though, it has been met with widespread criticism from the scientific community. Suffice to say, it is extraordinarily unlikely that octopus eggs hitched a ride to Earth on a comet. But man, oh man, have you seen how smart those things are? Like, have you actually seen the movie Finding Dory? Like, come on. And we all know animals are just strange anyway, you know? And rightfully so. Some of them are downright creepy. Have you heard about the giant predatory worms that have invaded France yet? Scientists have warned that huge worms up to 40 centimeters long have been silently invading French gardens. Oh, oui, oui, there's a worm in my garden. The exotic predatory invertebrates, which have managed to go almost completely undetected for years, are thought to have originated from populations transported from Asia in tropical plants. One of the earliest pieces of evidence was a photograph of a flatworm taken by naturalist Pierre Gros. This photograph was sent from an email to an email to another email and finally came to me, said zoologist Professor Jean-Louis Justine from the National French Museum of Natural History. I looked at it and said, well, this is not possible. We don't have this kind of animal in France. Initially dismissing the image as just a prank, he was startled to receive photographs of several other flatworm species, all discovered within the same small garden. What we know now is there are invasive flatworms almost everywhere in the metropolitan area of France. He said, I am still amazed. I don't understand how this is possible in a developed country. Predatory worms. There you go. As long as they're not giant sandworms like from the ones from Beetlejuice, I think we'll be okay. Just see some poor French guy running. Oh my God! And all you hear is, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. I remember clicking back and forth on the French stations and always seeing wrestling on it when I was a kid. And every time Undertaker would be on, they call him L'Undertaker. And for all those people out there who want to jump on me now and be all offended, I have only one thing to say. Je peux parler le français fluentement. Okay? Which means I can say what I want. did you guys hear about the, you know, little alert that went out in Florida? Talk about a great trailer for the next season of The Walking Dead. Lake Worth residents were shocked to receive an alert warning them about zombies earlier this week. The unexpected notice, which was sent at 1:45 a.m. during a power outage on Sunday morning, referred to extreme zombie activity in both the Lake Worth and Terminus areas, which is obviously where the joke is from, because if you're a Walking Dead fan, you know where Terminus is and what it means. The complete message, which was sent in all caps, read, Power outage and zombie alert for residents of Lake Worth and Terminus. There are now far less than 7,380 customers involved due to extreme zombie activity. Restoration time uncertain. Unsurprisingly, it turned out that the zombie reference had been sent in error. We are looking into reports that the system mentioned zombies, said Lake Worth's public information officer Ben Kerr. I want to reiterate that the Lake Worth does not have any zombie activity currently, you know, right now anyway, and apologizes for the system message, which was obviously a prank. There you go. Zombie alert. But, you know, you gotta understand, in order to have an alert like that, they had to be inputted into a computer. So either somebody pranked it right then and there, or it was already there and the government know the zombies are real. It could happen. Oh, God. Let's just have a normal cryptid story or two to finish off the paranormal news for this month. Guys, a couple have reported yet another Bigfoot sighting in good old New Jersey. Oh, yeah. The report is one of several dozen to have arisen in the northeastern U.S. state over the last few decades. The incident, which occurred in Pine Barrens, involved a woman named Trisha, who had been driving through a densely wooded area with her husband back on April 7th. According to the report she submitted to the Bigfoot Field Research Organization, or BFRO, she saw a large bipedal creature bound to the road before quickly disappearing again in the trees nearby. I'm driving, and in a split second, I saw something brown on two legs and about 6 feet tall sprint behind the car in the area we were just in, she wrote. I caught it in my rearview mirror. I stopped the car, and my husband told me to go in reverse. As we approached the area, he thought he heard branches snapping and a splash into the water. A local news report detailing the sighting can be found on YouTube. Look it up. Couple joins dozens to report sightings. New Jersey Bigfoot sightings. Guys, this is just getting out of hand. And you know, cryptids are awesome. I love cryptids. Give me Ogopogo. Give me Yeti. Give me Bigfoot. Give me Dogman. Give me all of them. But there's one that just tugs at my heartstrings ever since I was a little boy, and that's good old Nessie. Everybody wants Loch Ness to be real. And now we might be one step closer. Loch Ness DNA tests to aid the hunt for Nessie have been initiated. This is really one final kick at the cat, I think. We've done everything we can with the Loch, and at this point, well, we're looking for evidence in a smaller place, so to speak. Scientists are claiming to learn exactly what types of creatures are living in Scotland's enigmatic Loch. The study, which is being led by New Zealand scientist Professor Neil Gemmell, we'll use DNA sampling techniques to see if there's any specific scientific basis for the monster legend. I'm going into this thinking it's unlikely there's a monster, but I want to test that hypothesis, he said. What we'll get is a really nice survey of biodiversity in Loch Ness. For the analysis, samples of water from the Loch will be collected over periods, and especially in the first 2 weeks. There's absolutely no doubt that we will find new stuff, and that's very exciting, said Gemmell. While the prospect for looking for evidence of Loch Ness Monster, is the hook for this project, there's an extraordinary amount of new knowledge that will be gained from the work about organisms that inhabit that loch. If there is a monster in the loch, it would have left traces such as skin, scales, feces, all kinds of stuff. So we're going to come across it. This is actually brilliant. This DNA can be captured, sequenced, and then used to identify the creature by comparing the sequence obtained to large databases of known genetic sequences from hundreds of thousands of different organisms, said Gemmell. So if they look through this and they like just trowel the bottom of this thing and look for Nessie's poop, basically, well, they might have a Loch Ness monster. So there you go. And then Loch Ness monster comes out of the loch and he says, I need about 350 to do this test. Oh, we had that weird audio illusion, Yanny and Laurel. We had a jury that used a Ouija board to convict a murderer. Like, come on, awesome story. We had the breakthrough Listen, which expanded its search for aliens. We had scientists claim the octopus might actually be from another planet. We had giant predatory worms invading France. We had a zombie alert message that went out in Florida. We had a couple of reported on yet another Bigfoot sighting in New Jersey. And Loch Ness Monster, it's going to need about 350 and a DNA test. 350. All these stories have been odd to Newfoundland.
I think it's a strange vanity that makes us think we're the only ones in the solar system.
Thanks, John. I would like to welcome you to your MUFON Minute for June 2018. As of May 1st, 2018, MUFON received a total of 645 UFO reports for the months of April, where 363 originated in the US, and Canada having 66, and the United Kingdom having 34. These numbers have been relatively stable month to month. The sphere remains the most reported UFO shape in 89 cases. A disc shape was the second most reported at 61, and a star-like shape was third, with 45 reports. There were 82 reports, which included testimony where the object was less than 100 feet away. In a MUFON News article by Roger Marsh, a Canadian witness at Sydney Mines reported watching a triangular UFO where smaller orbs appeared as thrusters, according to testimony in case 83584. The witness stepped outside to have a cigarette at 10:17 p.m. on May 5, 2017. After lighting the smoke, I did as I normally do and looked up to see the few stars peeking out, the witness stated. I looked to my left, and this bright white orb of light was moving across the sky. At first glance, I thought it was the moon, but it was in the wrong location and quickly became apparent it was moving quickly. As it got closer, while moving across my path from southwest to north-northeast, I noticed it looked like a bright orb of light centered gyroscopically in a smooth triangle with three smaller orbs of white light that appeared to act as thrusters. The witness explained his description. When I say gyroscopically centered, I mean it appeared as though the outer part of the craft, triangle, rotated around the bright central orb to propel it in the direction. I wasn't sure what I had seen, but I am open to life other than that on our planet. At the same time, I didn't want to speak out to anybody and look like I'm crazy. It wasn't until the next day when speaking with a friend of mine who lives close by that he happened to mention that he had a neat video he took the night before to show me. He pulled up the video on his phone, and there is the craft, exactly as I had seen it. I immediately told him that it was amazing to have it on video and that I had seen it as well. Canadian MUFON New Brunswick Chief Investigator David Delaney closed this case as an unknown aerial vehicle. It is important to remember, though, that many things in the sky have an explanation. A constellation, planet, space station, shooting star, or even something from closer to home. A plastic bag, a balloon, or a paper lantern. Sometimes clouds even look just like a classic flying saucer, which is just what happened to Jeff Dalton, as told by Cindy Day in the Chronicle Herald. He was out in North Mountain, Nova Scotia earlier this month and spotted it, the cloud that is commonly referred to as the UFO cloud. Having said that, there is nothing common about this cloud, so let's start off with its proper name, an altocumulus lenticularis. Well, that was a poorly done description by me, but it's commonly known as a lenticular cloud. The cloud is a stationary lens-shaped cloud that forms over higher elevations. You'll almost always find it in perpendicular alignment to the wind direction. It forms, when stable, moist air flows over the mountain or a range of mountains. In some cases, it doesn't take a very significant elevation to trigger this process. The cloud itself forms on the downside of the lift. If the temperature at the crest of the wave drops to the dew point, moisture in the air can condense to form a lenticular cloud. As the moist air moves back down into the trough or bottom of the wave, the cloud often starts to evaporate. Pilots of motorized aircraft tend to avoid flying near lenticular clouds because of the turbulence that accompanies them. But glider pilots go looking for them because the wave lift is usually smooth and strong, allowing gliders to soar to great distances. Apparently, authorities receive a few calls each year about the invasion of UFOs when the beauties of clouds dot the sky. Remember, as you head up to your cabin and slowly transition to the summer, be sure to keep your eyes to the skies. If you see something interesting, be sure to report it to www.mufon.com. For more information about MUFON in Newfoundland and Labrador, please be sure to check out the Newfoundland UFO Network on Facebook. Hopefully we can make it a little bit more active in the future. Thanks a lot, John.
Thank God. It's time for oddities.
Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Boy, that escalated quickly.
I want to believe.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
Oddities.
Alright guys, it's time for your oddities. 10 very strange facts that are very, very true about an odd, odd world. Happy Father's Day to me. Happy Father's Day to my dad, Don, who's just amazing. And, you know, since we're here, my father-in-law too. He's a Montreal fan, so we're not going to give him too much love here. Not too much. And I give to you guys this month's oddities 10 crazy facts that are worth your while to listen to. Oh yeah, about Father's Day. Let's get this started if you're not too busy drinking beer on the couch. Grammar Nazis hide under your pillow. Father's Day is coming and we all know you hate how it's spelled. Oddity number one, the Father's Day spelling. Well, grammar Nazis are enraged by how Father's Day is spelled. Since this day is in celebration of all dads around the world, it should actually be spelled as Father's, F-A-T-H-E-R-S apostrophe and then day, D-A-Y, as opposed to father apostrophe S. I was actually not aware of that oddity. I thought that was amazing. I never ever picked up on it, but you know, I'm known to completely enrage the grammar Nazis out there. Anyway. Why say Happy Father's Day when you say, you know, Männertag? In Germany, Father's Day is celebrated like a fiesta. Männertag, or Man's Day in literal translation, is a day where men are obliged to drink good beer and eat good food all day long and get drunk. What a way to man up on Männertag. Dude, best holiday ever. I wish it was that way. Around my house is usually just a crappy tie. Oddity number three, World War II. Father's Day was very interesting. During World War II, Father's Day became very popular as this day is used to honor the troops fighting the war, which makes complete sense. Number four, Father's Day in the USA. In the US, celebrating Father's Day has not been officially declared, and never was officially declared until 1966, even though in 1924, President Calvin Coolidge already threw his support for Father's Day celebrations. This is mainly because the event was viewed as either feminine in nature, hello, Mother's Day, or a capitalist trick to boost sales. Well, but I think it kind of worked, because I always buy something for my dear old dad for Father's Day. The world's oldest father is number five. The world's oldest father, or Ramjeet Raghav, an Indian farmer, was able to father a child at 96 years old. He's like the old school genetic jackhammer, baby. His wife, aged 52, gave birth to their second son last October 5th, 2012. Sadly, his wife left him after their first son was kidnapped in a bus in India's suburbs. That's a really, really sad end of the story, dude. But you know what? Gotta hand it to you. 96 years old. Wow. Stevie Wonder wrote, "Isn't she lovely?" This is number six for her, you know, his newborn daughter, Aisha. Now, as a matter of fact, there's actually a part in that song of "Isn't she lovely?" There's a part of that song where Aisha can be heard crying. Yeah, it's in there. It's snuck in. Why don't you go back and listen to "Isn't She Lovely" by Stevie Wonder and see if you can find that thing. Nancy and Frank Sinatra, the father-daughter duo. The collaboration between Frank Sinatra and daughter Nancy Sinatra is number seven. Of their song, "Something Stupid" was the only song performed by a father and daughter duo, the pair to ever hit number one spot on the Billboard pop music chart. Well, there you go. You made lots of money with your little girl. That's great. President Harry Truman was an angry dad. Was number eight. When Paul Hume, a music critic, gave a negative review to the performance concert by the daughter of U.S. President Harry Truman, the president set his office etiquette aside and went on to send a letter to Hume saying, "Someday I hope to meet you. When that happens, you'll need a new nose, a lot of beefsteak for black eyes, and perhaps a supporter below." I don't know why I turned into Sean Connery. I just felt like doing that. Because when people insult their children, nothing will stop a father in protecting them. Even someone as humble as Harry Truman, Paul Hume, you should be ashamed of yourself if you're still alive. Let's talk about Thailand. In Thailand, Father's Day is celebrated in whatever day the king's birthday falls on. Currently, the land of elephants in Sriracha celebrates Father's Day every December 5th, the same as their king's birthday. And the last, but certainly not least, is also a throwback to last month. Remember I told you that Mother's Day is actually the third and fourth largest celebrated holiday all over the world for cards? Well, there are contentions if Father's Day is indeed the fourth and fifth largest card sending celebration. Nevertheless, Father's Day is still an enormous event throughout the world, even if we did get fifth. But let's be honest, we only took fifth because, well, we're just too lazy to get up and make it the second or third. We just want to sit down and watch football and drink beer. Guys, I hope you enjoyed your oddities. Very special guest coming up. Don't you dare go away.
Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn radio listeners. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast, always available, always free, always odd.
All right, welcome back to the Odd to New Finland Paranormal Podcast. Tonight's guest is an internationally acclaimed psychic, medium, healer, dowser, and if that wasn't enough, he's also an ordained minister. His story, so powerful and so authentic, is unlike any other psychic medium out there, and it's why people from all across the globe are drawn to him for readings and personal guidance. So what's his story, and why is the psychic so many people trust this man? Well, he's the military medium, Dean McMurray, and he's got an amazing story. Dean, thanks so much for taking the time tonight and being on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.
Thanks, John, for having me. It's a real honor being here tonight.
And, you know, first thing I got to say, thank you for your service. Memorial Day was just the other day. What a great time of year to have you on. And I guess I'll ask the first fully loaded question. Dean, how did you become, well, a psychic from the military. Like this, these are two different stories coming together. The military psychic. How did you become this persona, so to speak?
Right. You know, it's an odd combination. A lot of people think it's like oil and water. And like, how do you become this? Do you just, did you buy a t-shirt one day because you thought it was cool? And, you know, no, I wasn't, a little backstory about myself. I spent 14 and a half years active duty Army. And then the last 10 years was with the Army National Guard, so serving full time in the state of North Dakota. And I retired May marks the fifth year of being retired after 24 years, of service. But to preface this, John, is, 3 years, wasn't until 3 years before I retired that everything started to open up for me. And before that, I wasn't even open to psychics, and I wasn't open to mediums, and I wasn't open to everything holistic. Maybe the craziest conversation I would have with you is about scented candles and, incense and oils and such. And, I wasn't open to that type of thing. And it wasn't until my last overseas tour, we deployed to the country of Kosovo. And when I came back, a lot of paranormal activity started happening in my home. And what I mean by paranormal activity is I mean that clocks and pictures started flying off the walls. And, of course, as being a guy, somebody that lives in the very, the very logical world of saying, the screw wasn't in the drywall correctly or whatnot. There was a lot of things I couldn't explain about it because, quite honestly, the fasteners were incorrectly and such. And my wife had confided in me that she had seen a psychic when I was in Kosovo, and I was jokingly referring to her as the voodoo chick, and that's just because that was the space that I was in. I wasn't open to it, and the first words out of my mouth when all this crazy stuff started happening, call voodoo chick. There's some weird crap going on, and it's because I didn't know, it's like, oh my God, what are we possessed? What's going, and a million things going through our minds. And, she said, oh, Dean, it's your grandpa, and my grandpa on my mom's side is a World War I veteran. And I was like, and I'm looking at my wife thinking, how much are we paying this lady? I think she's smoking too much of her, sage or whatever. And she left kind of fast forward a couple weeks, and things did not quiet down. They got noisier, more paranormal activity started happening. But also at the same time, I was washing bottles. My son, I lovingly referred to him as our deployment baby. but he was a newborn. So I was washing bottles around midnight, and I kept on having this creeped out feeling behind me that there was somebody behind me watching me. And I was like, what the heck? Who the heck is watching me? And it was like a knowing that washed over me that my grandmother was there. And then I'm having a conversation with myself going, how do I know it's my grandmother? She passed back in the 80s. And then back and forth with myself. And I'm literally thinking, is this how people really start to go crazy? Is this how people, before they get admitted, or get on some serious medications, is this what happens? And so I went to bed that night knowing that she was there. And I was talking to her one way, and I wasn't receiving anything, but I was talking to her. And so I'm laying in bed, and, my ego just went to, Dean, this is all BS. You're just making this up. Why don't you just have her prove it? So as soon as I thought those words, immediately she turned the room ice cold. And like you walked into a walk-in freezer, if you think of probably in your area in January, February, where it's super cold out.
Yep.
And so I was like, holy crap, I could feel that instantly. And, you know, so of course that she had my attention. I was a little scared. And so I continued talking to her. And then the next thought that popped up from my ego was, you know what? Why don't you just put this all to rest? You know what? Why don't you just touch me? We're just going to put this to bed. Why don't you just touch me? And touch me she did. It was an even pressure from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And it's where my body became heavier than the mattress. And I was gently yet firmly pushed down into the mattress. And it was something that I could feel physically, and I could hear the springs compress. So all of my senses were engaged. And of course, that brought out the 6-year-old little boy in me going, all right, grandma, we love you. See you soon. And like, I almost want to say, all right, now go leave, you know, and because it quite honestly scared the hell out of me. And as soon as I said that, boom, boom, she was gone. But everything returned to normal. There was no more weight. There was, you know, it went back to room temperature. And I'm sitting up in bed thinking, oh my God, what did I just imagine that? But I'm covered in sweat. I'm short of breath. It's like, oh my God, you know, and, my wife, is sleeping like she's never slept in her life. And I have to wake her up. And I said, there's somebody here. And she said, you mean somebody breaking in? And I said, no, a spirit. And she said, how do you know that? And I said, exactly. I don't know. You need to get a hold of Voodoo Chick and have her come back over. And so when she came back over, she quite honestly told me that I was a medium. And I think I quite bluntly told her where to go and told her what she was full of. And she said, you know what? You might be right, but here's the deal. You're a medium. You'll figure it out. Fast forward some time after that, and I started, you know, going through a crazy volume of books, just trying to even figure out what a medium is and what that meant for Dean, not James Van Praagh, not dissing anybody else. But what I'm saying is I went on a journey of trying to figure out what being a medium meant for Dean McMurray, not anybody else. But I read everybody else's stories and, you know, trying to get a frame of reference in a sense. And then, you know, and I quite honestly, I was more confused than ever because I didn't know what I was supposed to do with it. And it was like having an extra thumb. And it's like, oh my God, this is not going away. I never asked for this. And quite honestly, John, I was, you know, again, I was in my last 3 years of service. So, you know, I'm starting to look at retirement thinking, hey, I want to go work for the VA. And I had this big grandiose plan. I had it all mapped out. And, you know, a government service worker, yada, yada, you know, and thinking my kids are young yet. You know, I'm, they can't pull the plug yet. And, but the thing is, I really, you know, the universe, really had other plans for me because if you would have told me back then, saying, hey, you're not going to be working for the VA. You're going to be working as a psychic medium full time. I would have laughed at you right in your face and told you, you need to go get on meds because, you know, you're crazy. So basically, you know, I started reading. I started taking classes on mediumship, you know, and everything. And basically I did a year apprenticeship in the sense where I just gave readings to everybody and everybody. And, then as I retired, you know, we looked at doing it as a business and it's, been now 5 years since I retired. And it's, I gotta say, it's very humbling to do this work every day. And, I feel very honored to be able to be in service of the universe as far as in other folks that are in need.
You have definitely been in service, that's for sure. 24 years in the United States Armed Forces and now serving the public, the general public, in a different way. And, you know, one thing I noticed, too, in your snaps is on your website, and, of course, just to pump it out there for everybody, you guys can check out Dean and all of his work he does at www.deanmcmurray.com. That's D-E-A-N. mcmurray.com. And you guys can check him out there if you want to book in your, you know, your reading, or maybe you want to get in on his newsletter, which looks pretty interesting. I think I might be subscribing to that, to be honest. I love newsletters, and I'm all about it. But one thing I did notice in your synopsis is you mentioned that your abilities were actually awakened. Yes, and it was during your last, really the last time you were kind of deployed overseas, correct?
Yeah. Well, it was after I returned.
Yes. Yeah, so there wasn't anything that really triggered it while you were there, so to speak.
No. You know, it's interesting, you know, and there could have been. I haven't found that yet, but my last deployment wasn't something that I would label as traumatic. It was, you know, Kosovo, probably the hardest thing was being away from friends and family and running out of coffee, if that ever happened. You know, it's like, you know, it wasn't, you know, comparative to my previous deployments, it was pretty, it was easier, I'll just say, than the previous ones. Mm-hmm. However, you know, and I have kind of looked at that saying, you know, why now? Why, you know, why wasn't it earlier or something? But the thing that I will share, John, is, you know, I even look back when I was doing some, you know, analysis of my journals, because I kept journals not only in Kosovo, but also in Afghanistan and, you know, different things. And one of the things that I did find is that even though I wasn't aware of it, I was actually using my intuition on a daily basis. For example, I was sharing this story last night in a different radio show and talking about how we did a night mission, and it was a mounted convoy of four gun trucks, and to just maintain a presence during the evening time. And we actually had stopped along the route, and something was just telling me, do not stop here. Do not stop. Well, of course, what do? We stopped. And it was like something that was urging me, you need to move. And so I kept on the guy that I was working with, I kept on telling him, hey, we need to move the vehicles up further. Just move them up another 100, 200 meters and then stop. And one of the things we were carrying, this was early Afghanistan. So you got to remember, I was in Afghanistan, just even before the ground war in Iraq started. So we're talking very early days. So a lot of technology and different things that troops have now in the field were just becoming prototypes, and they were testing a lot of these things. And there, we were carrying on board a prototype, I'll just call it a piece of equipment that helped troops so bombs didn't blow up. And one of the things that right before we moved, we actually audibly heard a clicking noise. And it was like either a automated timer or some type of pressure switch. And because we could clearly hear it. And one of the things after we moved out of the area, we swept the area with a lot of thermals and night vision and everything to see if we could see anybody. But there was nobody present that we could see. And we really believe to this day that it was some form of, you know, improvised explosive device or whatever. And, but the thing that I want to go back to, the reason I bring that up, is my intuition was telling me then, saying, hey, don't stop here, even though, hey, you know, potentially dangerous all around you. But the thing is, you don't want to stop here. You want to keep going, you know, stop somewhere else if you have to stop. Don't stop here. And it's just like, and I think that's just a really powerful reminder. And I allow that to serve as a reminder to me so I can remind other folks to, you know, are you tapping into your intuition daily? Are you allowing that to serve you at a higher level? You know, are you, because we can use it to keep us from harm. We can use it to enhance our life or do a lot of different things. So, you know, and I just so happened, even though I wasn't aware of what I was using, but, you know, I just so happened to be, you know, in the serving as a soldier. You know, a policeman, fireman, cook, anybody. It doesn't matter what your profession is or where you live or, you know, demographics. It doesn't matter that. But so I'm a big proponent of that as far as empowering folks and getting folks to embrace that.
Very, very interesting guest tonight, Dean McMurray. One thing I just love is this life after another life and doing something in the realm of the paranormal. Like, for me, it's almost like an afterlife, so to speak. You know, I've done many things in my world. I've worn many hats. And I can relate to you so much with this whole sudden change of, really becoming a believer in this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, for many, many years in my world, I didn't believe. And, when the atheist goes out ghost hunting and does it for 5 years, eventually he starts to believe. It just happened. And, I will say this, there's no doubt in my mind that everything you've done, it almost seems like it was meant to happen. It was planned. And as an ordained minister, you probably have heard this one many times before, but I'll say it one more time. The steps of a good man are ordered. And I think you continue to receive order. And even though they're not the orders you might be used to in the old barracks, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is that, you're absolutely right. And I don't believe that there are any synchronicities or coincidences. There's forces, you know, there's always these multiple outcomes for whatever we want to do. And, you know, based on whether we do or, you know, I could have said the hell with it on everything. And, you know, I could have walked away several times. And I almost did a few times and just went and got a quote unquote normal job. And, sometimes life would seem a whole lot simpler some days. Other days, you know, it's just like, you know, you just totally get validation, you know, why you're doing what you do. And it's like that, you know, when you see that healing or you can feel it, or when you get a mom that, you know, has lost a child, or, you know, or a dad, or it doesn't matter, you know, when you get to be in the presence of the healing, you know, it's very humbling because it's like, that is exactly why I do what I do. And, you know, so it's just like, sometimes you get those glimpses and it's like, thanks for the reminder. Thanks for the, you know. And so it is a beautiful thing when we're able to see it and feel it.
It says here on your website as well, which is dmcmurray.com. Folks, if you want to check them out, I'll say it again. It says here that you conduct readings for clients throughout the world. So how do you go about that? How do people from all around the world contact you?
Sure. So what they do is they can, you know, go to my website. They can drop me an email, or, you know, like most people, if they're looking for a reading, they just look and schedule a session that works for them, the date, the time. And then what we do is then, obviously, if somebody is, you know, overseas or wherever, not within the United States, we just, like, we're connecting now, John, you know, and there's, you know, I got everything from Skype to FaceTime to Zoom to FaceTime video to, good Lord, there's about 50 different ways we can connect. So it's not, you know, and it's technology today. You know, we are a global community, and it brings our, you know, our overseas neighbors so close. And so it's a beautiful thing when I'm able to connect with folks, you know, whether it's in my state or in my town. And then also, you know, if somebody from Singapore or somewhere in the UK or Canada or where, what have you, it doesn't matter where you live. You know, all you need is the internet and either your smartphone or your computer.
Awesome, Dean. I got to ask, you know, you kind of understand now in your life, your gift kind of came out a little later, but even as a child, was there ever a time when you felt like you may have been a little different, maybe had that ability, or was it something that kind of developed, we'll say, later in life?
Sure. You know, looking back, you know, they always say hindsight is 20/20, And, you know, my mom, kind of talking with my mom, I call it coming out of the metaphysical closet. When I did that, my mom was like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. And I was like, what do you mean? Now you're telling me that. And she goes, well, you were always very sensitive. And she goes, I always knew that, you know, you could feel a lot. And I was like, now you're telling me this. What, you know, it's like, but she was like, you know, I don't know how much that you're open to those things. And, you know, it depends your frame of reference at the time. And, but it's interesting, the conversations that I even have with my family, you know, it's like, oh yeah, we totally knew that you were sensitive or whatever. But, thinking about, you know, feeling the emotions of others, you know, talking about being an empath, I do remember snippets, especially, you know, what I think it was a Sunday schools, that was local to my home and where I, my mom made me go and I didn't want to be there for whatever reason. And, kind of went, screaming all the way home for whatever reason. And there was some energy or something that, and it wasn't the church itself. However, I kind of chuckle about it now because it's like, well, that totally makes sense. You know, it's like, okay, so I wasn't jiving with the energy that was going on at that place. So, you know, I was like, I'm out of here. So, but yeah, you know, at hindsight, do I get snippets of saying, yeah, that totally made sense now and putting in, you know, relation to where I am? Absolutely. You know, but, you know, part of me kind of wishes that, I was aware, back then of my abilities. And so I could have built it up over time. But you know what? It's like, oh, well, you know, no time like the present, and you need to make for lost time and saying, you know, buckle down and study and you know, go forward, do good things.
I just can't get past the whole idea that you came out of the metaphysical closet. I love that. I thought that was excellent work. And it's even funnier for me because I'm actually, well, podcasting in my closet downstairs right now. So the irony is definitely not lost on this episode, man. It really isn't.
Beautiful.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Oh, you know, there's one last thing I got to talk to you about because I heard, well, really, I never really heard. I read. It's on your site. And you're currently working on your first book. Now, we got to promote this. We got to hear about this. I mean, I have no idea what the title is of the book or nothing like that. I'm not a psychic, but I got a feeling it's going to sound something a little something like this, The Military Medium.
Probably. You know, that's been an ongoing project now, back and forth. It's a love-hate relationship with that project. But I am working on, you know, my first book and talking about, that's really when a lot of this hindsight came, because I really pored over a lot of journals and everything saying, you know, how aware was I or unaware, but I was using my intuition. Because that's something that I think a lot of people do. And I wanted to relate to folks saying, you know, I'm just and really when I look at myself, I'm thinking I'm nobody special. I'm, you know, I am to my family, but here's the deal is like, there's, you know, thousands of people just like me, and saying, you know, just a small town kid, grew up in northern Minnesota, you know, went off to serve in the military. Well, that sounds like a humdrum story, because how many other hundreds of thousands of, you know, men and women done the same thing. But the thing is, oh, by the way, down the road, I ended up talking to the dead. It's like, well, now that's something a little bit different. But at what point was I using my intuition, or was I, you know? And so, I'm trying to pull snippets out of my time in Afghanistan and even Kosovo, a different military service, even, you know, when I was working in the office or whatever, and where I was using my abilities. And it was kind of funny because even after I stepped in to my gifts, it was quite literally Dean the Soldier by day and Dean the Medium by night, because you got to remember there was that 3 years prior to retirement. And so here I was under, you know, the cover of darkness, if you will, trying to, because at first I didn't know how everybody in the military would accept it, because I had these visions of, oh my God, there's going to be a stigma, you know, and I knew a lot of officers and I had a good relationship with everybody. And, you know, I'm also part of the full time support staff, and I'm thinking, oh my God. And, you know, and it's that story we tell ourselves. And then it was right before I retired, I was like, you know what? What are they going to do? Bend my dog tags and make me retire? I was like, you know, the hell with it. I'm going to tell everybody what I'm doing. And basically it came out. I was like, in a sense, again, John, that came out of the metaphysical closet, but on the military side, and to my military family. And it was just like anybody else, because you got some people that are totally fascinated with it, want to hear more. Other folks are interested, but not too sure. That kind of freaks them out. And then other folks that, you know, kind of make the cross symbol and back away very slowly, you know. And, but, you know, and it wasn't, I wasn't shunned or anything, because, you know, everybody that I ever encountered was very supportive. But I had mixed reviews, and it's like, you know, some were like, I don't believe in that. And it's like, but I never try to push my agenda on anybody. It's because I don't even have an agenda. It's like, you know, if you want to talk about it, fine. If you don't, we have other things to talk about. It's like, I'm not just Dean the Medium. I'm also a dad. I'm also, you know, a veteran. I'm like, you know, I got other interests. Love to fish, love to, you know, do a lot of other things other than talking to dead people. However, most days that takes up most of my time, but.
Well, there you go. I'll be looking forward to that book. That sounds like fun. And it's so interesting to see the level-headedness, so to speak, of that. Well, this time has passed, and you can kind of reflect, and I can really appreciate that, because when I put out my first book, that's exactly what I did. I went back over some of the coolest parts and some of the weirder things that happened, you know, a few years prior, right? So I can kind of relate. And it's not easy to write those kind of books, man, especially if you've got, like, a lot of detail. It takes a lot of time. So you know what? We're rooting for you, buddy. We're rooting for you. We want to see this book come out, and I'm sure everybody will visit your website, dmcmurray.com, and check it out. I'm going to pump that website one more time before we let Dean go. That's DEANMCMURRAY.com. So you guys can go ahead. You can get him for a lot of different things. Listen, Dean is like, he's just a lot of things. This guy teaches mediumship classes. He presents at regional symposiums. He does conferences. He does workshops. He does everything, everything, everything. And you know what? I was really glad to have him tonight on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Dean, do you have anything you'd like to say before I let you go on to all my listeners out there?
I just really want to wish all your listeners a tremendous amount of peace, light, and love. I know there's so much turmoil and craziness in the world today. And just really be kind to yourself, and make sure you take time for some good self-care. And I really appreciate you taking the time to have me on tonight, John. It really means a lot.
Listen, you can come back anytime, soldier, and that's an order.
Beautiful.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at ODDTONFLD. That's Odd to Newfoundland. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.